Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God.
The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and it's good to be here on Truth Ministry. And I ask you all the time, that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So, yes, so you're very welcome to Truth Ministry. And I am the spokesman for the King of Glory in the person of Elder Michael E. Cannon. And we'd like to welcome all of our Twitter followers, all of our Blog Talk friends, all of our Facebook friends, and all of our LinkedIn connections. God bless you. It's good to be here. So good to be in the land of the living. Like the prophet said, is of the Lord's mercies. We are not consumed because His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So we want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. And so we just thank God. This was a St. Paul's letter that he wrote to the church at Ephesus, this Ephesian church, people who were already saved. They already been to the water, the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. They already received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives them to utter. Just like it was written of the prophet, you know, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, saying, this is the rest. And this is refreshing. And also, Joel 2:28, it shall come to pass, saith God, in the last days I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So thank God. Holy Ghost is poured out, Acts 2:4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together in one place, with one accord, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothed in tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So thank God. He had to confuse the language in 11th chapter of Genesis, because the people is one, they're going to make a name for themselves. Now he fills you with the Holy Ghost, you're speaking another tongue or another language, which is not your native tongue. That's the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth. Like he told the disciples, he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That's why he was saying previously, it's expedient that I go away. I pray the Father, he will send you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. So thank God. You can't live holy without the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. You have to have the Holy Ghost. So apostolic doctrine is correct. The apostolic doctrine is truth. We are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2 and 20. So these were the men that he gave his word. They were the 12 apostles whom he chose. So we know things happened along the way. 320 AD, Constantine had that devilation, and that was the split, that monstrosity. Catholicism began, and they began baptizing using the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost instead of using the name of the Father. The name is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. Thank God for the truth. So it's good to be here. So many don't know who Jesus is, and it takes the Holy Ghost to reveal who he is, to understand the Godhead, the one God who is the head of all things. It's not three persons in the Godhead. It's only one person. If it's three persons in the Godhead, it would be a freak. Anything with more than one head is a freak, and God is not a freak. He is one. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the eternal God, in the beginning God. He always was. He's the omnipresent spirit. Moses says, before the mountains were brought forth, ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God, in the 90th Psalm. So we thank God that we are here on another session of Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. So now, on last week, we were in the book of the Revelation, and we were talking about I Know Thy Work. So we actually did get through the first three books in the Revelation. And those were the seven churches that he had John to write to. So actually, those church ages and those churches in Asia Minor. The last one was Laodicea. And so those first three chapters are things that things that are going to come to pass. John saw these things. They are going to come to pass. So he was talking. Philadelphia was one that he commended, and because they hadn't denied his name, they kept his patience. He said he was going to keep them in the hour of temptation. But the church that he really had an ought against more than any of them, and we know the other ones he did too. But he didn't commend the Laodiceans. He said, unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. That the beginning of the creation of God is Jesus Christ. He is the pattern that Adam was made after. You got to understand. God says, remember the former things of old. I am God. Isaiah 46, 9, 10, 11. I am God. There's none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. In ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So we know, talking about Abraham, Paul's masterpiece, Romans, he's writing in the fourth chapter, he's talking about Abraham when God called him. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So the writer Paul goes on to say, he's talking about Abraham, he staggered, not at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, believing that he was able to, what he promised, he was able also to bring it to pass. Not only that, if he would have slayed his son Isaac, God would have to raise him up even from the dead because he was the promised seed. So thank God for that. So God quickeneth the dead, and he calleth those things that be not as though they were. That word quicken means to make alive. So He's going to judge. He is the judge of the quick and dead. That means the alive and the dead. So there's nothing like getting an understanding. So, but the last ought that he had in Revelation 3 and 13, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So that's so paramount, even as the reference, the Hebrew writer says today, I believe in the third chapter, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And so he makes mention about the provocation and the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers saw my works, prove me. And he goes on to say, 40 years was I grieved with that generation because they do always err in their heart. And then he went on to let us know as he's writing that the reason why they couldn't enter in is because of unbelief. So unbelief is the worst sin, and Jesus could not do many mighty works in the Gospels at times because of unbelief. And one writer wrote, he marveled at their unbelief. And so we got to believe. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he goes on here in Revelation 3:14, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Like I said, that's Jesus. That's the pattern. He was the pattern. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So what you have to do in biblical terminology, you have to pay very close attention to repetition. So he says precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. So what are you talking about? A rule. Here's a rule. Here's a rule. Scripture will support scripture. So this is so very important. So then he goes on here, because thou sayest, you know, he was saying he was wishing they were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. That's your faith. Thou mayest be rich in white raiment. Thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. That's the righteousness of God. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I will come in to him, will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So he is the author, talking about Jesus, and finisher of our faith. He is the first begotten of the dead. So you have to pay very close attention. This is why John was put out in the isle called Patmos. They, you know, thought they were going to get away, leave him out there to die, to be ate up by the beasts and the deadly vipers and all. But no, he is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, he made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So he's Alpha and Omega. So he is the one that was dead. He said, behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of hell and of death. So John had saw him out there. He had heard He said, I'm also your brother and companion in tribulation. So in other words, see, we're not even Jesus himself. He was the great high priest. So that's passing to the heavens. So this is why the Hebrew writer says we have not, cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What he's saying is the one we have, he can be touched. And he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. That's why he had to come in a human body. That's why he says, therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So in other words, come to the throne of grace with confidence. It's not a throne of judgment. It's a throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So he says, I'm your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. This is John. So I'm just doing a little a recap. So he was in the aisle that is called Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira, unto Sardis and Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice. You see a voice? Yes, see a voice. That's the same voice that was walking in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the evening, and Adam hid himself because he knew what he had done. He had disobeyed God. So he goes on here, being turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair was white as like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes as a flame of fire. That's the Ancient of David, and white hairs and as wool. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace. His voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, this is John saying what he said to him, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, have the keys of hell and of death. So in other words, 1 John 3:16, John, St. John wrote St. John. He wrote the first, second, and third epistle of John. He also wrote this book that we're in right now, The Revelation. So he says in 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Somebody said, how did God die? That's a rhetorical question. He didn't die as a spirit, but he died as a man. So I want to let you know that you are welcome, should you desire to call in, should you have a question or comment, you are welcome, 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. You are welcome if you have a question or a comment. I had someone to call in last week and tried to just take over my show, you know, talk about what he wanted to talk about. Like I said, it's okay if you call in, you have a comment or a question, that's fine. We can dialogue. We're not going to go off on some tantrum on some other things that not even pertaining to what we're talking about. I mean, somebody can make a comment. It doesn't matter. Make your comment and we'll keep it moving. But that's not what he's trying to do. He was just trying to redirect the show. And you're not going to do that. That's not the way that it goes. So we go, he said, write the things that thou hast seen, the things which are, the things which shall be hereafter. So what? Your eyewitness, you saw something. Things which are, that's presently, when he wrote, and the things which shall be hereafter. So that's even until now. Mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So we did get go on through in these churches. And so that brings us to our lesson on today. And today we want to talk about the vision of John, the revelations of Saint John. So these things, so they were revealed unto him. Even some things that John saw, the Lord let him know, don't write. Write not. So there's going to be some really catastrophic things during the tribulation period. After God takes the church out of the earth, the enemy is going to work. The economy is going to prosper. The first half of the tribulation, 3.5 years, I think 42 months. After that, he's going to sit in the temple of God, the Antichrist, showing himself that he is God. That's when the Jews, that's the abomination of the desolation. That's when they're going to know they got deceived. This man is going to want to be worshipped as God. So in Revelation 4, the door in heaven is open to receive the church. So this is what we're going to deal with on today. So after this, I look and behold, a door was open in heaven. So those are the things that we want to talk about. So this is so very important. We make mention so many times. You never heard so many people talking about the rapture. Some folks don't even have the Holy Ghost. That's why I asked. That is a very that question is paramount. It is so essential. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And it ain't no just, oh, I just believe I got it. No, you don't. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You got to be baptized the right way. And when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you'll speak in another tongue or another language as the Spirit gives utterance. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost. And every place in the book of Acts, when they received the Holy Ghost, they spake tongues. In the 10th chapter of Acts, in the 19th chapter of Acts, they spake with tongues. So I did 39 years ago, August of 1976. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I'm here. And I've been fought, and I've been had some fiery darts threw at me, and I've been threatened, but I'm here by the grace of God. So I had to get God's word in me, and I'm still fighting. You got to fight the good fight of faith. You got to lay hold on eternal life. So here we are. This brings us to this point today. After this, I looked. This is John in the fourth chapter, the first verse. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. That is the appearing of the Lord. That is the rapture of the church. That is the changing. Paul says, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This is all simultaneously in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. So he says, the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, when his mortal shall have put on immortality. Then he's going to is going to be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So I'm going to go just kind of let you know here, just take my time, because to let you know what is going to happen to get in that door, how you got to go through that door. So this is what he was explaining to the Corinthian church. He was saying, some will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? It's a question, because you're not gonna go to heaven, not in this group. There's like more parts to the first resurrection. The 12 tribes of Israel, from what I understand, 144,000, they got to give their heads. They got to be slain. So that's why he says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved their lives unto the death. So right now, you can get in. You got to be born again. You won't die twice. The lake of fire, death and hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire, the second death. If you're born again, you die once. That means you, when you buried, in water in the name of Jesus, you died. When you die, physical death, if you should die before the Lord takes the church out of here, you go to sleep. So he's going to call the dead in the graves. They that hear his voice, the voice of the Son of God, shall come forth. They that have done good. So in other words, they're in Jesus. They're the ones who sleep in Jesus. Like Daniel says, many that sleep in the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to everlasting contempt. So that strikes a death lick in that lie that people, even among the church, believe that if you weren't saved, you go straight to hell. No, you don't. You're in the dead are in a state of unconsciousness. You don't go straight to hell. You're gonna be judged. And he even says, the rest of the dead live not again till the 1,000 years were fulfilled. This is the first resurrection. So anyway, he goes on here, let them know. Some will say, how are they dead raised? With what body do they come? Thy food, that which thou sowest, is not quickened. That word quicken means make alive, except to die. And that thou sowest not that body that shall be, but by bare grain, a chance of wheat, or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it please him. To every seed his own body. So he's just talking about nature and animals and all, and letting you know everybody's going to get a body. You know how that the way that happens is the same thing is going to happen with the resurrection of the dead. So he says, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fish, another of birds. There are celestial bodies and terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one. The glory of the terrestrial is another. One glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. One star different from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in corruption, is raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, is raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It's sown a natural body, is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body, there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that which was first is which is spiritual, but that which is natural, howbeit that was not first, which is spiritual, is what he's saying, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. First man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. That's Jesus. As the earth is the earthly, so are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such as they also that are heavenly. As we are born the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, everybody ain't the we. This is, he's talking to church people right here. This Corinthian church was a mess. He had to straighten out, but they were very gifted people. They were out of order, but they were very gifted. This is Paul's ought to the Corinthian church. He had to set them in order. So he goes on here, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So it's going to be so fast. We're talking about going in this door that I'm talking about on today. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Notice what I said. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. Remember the scripture that I make mention of in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even though them were sleeping, Jesus will God be bring with him. He says, we that are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. Remember, I was saying you'd be born again. When you die, if you die before the Lord come, you just go to sleep. So he says, even them were sleeping, Jesus will God be bring with him. He says, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. We which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. And he goes on to say, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So he's going on here. He's saying the same thing. At the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass a saying that is written, death is swallowed up in. Then he goes on here, oh, death, I got a question for you. Where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he goes on to say, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So this is what brings us up to what we're talking about today. You're not going to just go through that door. You got to be born again. You got to have what it takes. If you're going to fly somewhere, you got to get your ticket. You got to get your boarding pass. You got to go down in water in the name of Jesus. Repent and go down in water in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins and receive the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterances. So you got to walk with God if you want to fly out of here. So John says, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, saying, or talking with me, and which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. That sounds like one of the words that we just read in the first chapter, I believe, because he was saying he's going to show him things that's going to be, you know, present. Things that are, which shall be, and the things which shall be hereafter. So it's self same thing. So it's repetition, what he's saying. So he's letting him know. And immediately, this is John talking, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. See, that just substantiates what I keep saying. There's only one in the Godhead. One was on the throne. One. He said, behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. I'm told a sardine stone, either way you turn it, it's amazing the what it's portraying, it's the glory and the glistering when you look at it, what it's showing. So he goes on here, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And around about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. There were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. So that is, I'm told, that's God in all his glory. And behold, and so no one ever, it's going to take eternity forever for us to try to find out, that I'm talking about the church, to come to the end of God, and we'll never be able to come to the end of God throughout eternity, never knowing everything, just going to be learning in the ages to come. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like on the crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had the face of a man, the fourth beast was like a flying eagle, and the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him. They were full of eyes within, and the rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. When those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So that's going to be a marvelous sight. You go on here, I mean, the opening the seals and everything, but when you get into, I believe, the sixth chapter, that is when these judgments are going to happen. And there's things that are being set in place right now, though many don't understand the mark. It's not going to be 666s across your head, because the number is a number of a man, and his number is 66. So it's not going to be like you're going to have 36s in your head, in your forehead, but it's a three-digit number. So here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. See, that's a three-digit number. And understand right now, on your debit card or on your credit card, on the back you have a three-digit number. You tell me, isn't that that's not coincidence? So the beast, but I'm just kind of flying ahead a little bit, because just to let you know, now this here, this is not talking about what we just saw. This is the dragon coming out of the earth, had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. That's deception. He exercised power over the first beast before him and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He doth great wonders. See, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. Remember now, I'm letting you know, the church is in heaven. That's that door in the fourth chapter, the first verse. Church is raptured away. The dead in Christ and the church, the alive and remain, caught up together with them in the clouds, meet the Lord in the air, so shall they ever be with the Lord. Power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which has the wound, by a sword did live. Don't that sound like in Nebuchadnezzar's days? They had to bow down, worship that beast. They didn't. They were thrown into the burning, fiery furnace. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused it all, both small and great, rich and poor, bond and free, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. So that's the two places. So actually they say your right hand is about the size of a grain of sand. I mean, not sand, a grain of rice, because they actually, it's called a viral chip. They already have this out right now. They're already putting them. Some people probably getting them. I know in animals they're putting them in. So no man might buy or sell, save. That word save means accept. He that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So here's wisdom. Like I just said a little while ago, here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. It's the number of a man. His number is 666. So in other words, a three-digit number. So we're going on here. We have went through. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, there's only one Lord, so the Lamb is the same one. And he's not going to give, and see, the sonship is not going to be done away with yet. And so I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside seal, seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book, to loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much. This is John. Because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain among the horns. Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth in all the earth. Remember I said God in all his glory. He came and took the book out of the hand of him that sat upon the throne. So in other words, he got up. He didn't get up. He did get up. He didn't get up. He did get up. He didn't get up. He took the book himself from himself. You got to understand what's going on. He was in the midst of the throne. Nobody else was found. He took the book out of his own hand. He's sitting there as a lion of the, like he said, there stood a lamb as it had been slain. He took the book out of his own hand. He was a lion and he was a lamb all at the same time. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. That's another thing that going to go to heaven with the saints of God is our prayers. So he goes on here, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. So remember, that's what he said when John saw him in the vision to begin with. He says how he saw him, that he was unto him that loved, washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests. The same thing that he said, he's saying the same thing here. Has made us unto our God kings and priests. We shall reign on earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb, forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worship him that liveth forever and ever. So what are we talking about? That door. John is inside that door. The church is in heaven. What he was talking about. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw and beheld a white horse. He that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now that white horse is deception. How are you going to conquer with a bow and no arrows? So he goes on here. When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast saying, Come and see. There went out another horse that was red. Power was given unto him to set thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. That's war. That's war. Take peace from the earth. That's war. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the beast. He opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. So things are going to be weighed out. See, remember, you go down farther when he says that no one can buy or sell save him that have the mark. But go on here, actually, he's going to give the answer. So he goes on here. He took, he had a great sword. That's war. He had opened the third seal. Come and see. He had a horse. He had a pair of balances. That means it's going to be weighed out. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death and Hell. So you know who that is. Followed him. Power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And see, this is what God's going to do. He's going to have beasts to come and eat the kings and the captains, all the stuff they did, eat their flesh. We'll see as we go on. So, but the point I want to make is about this system that's going on, because we're going to be a cashless society very soon. Too many places are putting money on cards. You don't get a paper check. They want your money to be deposited into an account. And just think, if we were totally cashless, you wouldn't have bank robberies because there wouldn't be no money to give. But I mean, that's just a sign of the times for all of this to come. But the point being, if a loaf of bread costs $10,000, these rich people, it doesn't matter. That Antichrist, he is not going to care. You got to pay. So it don't matter how much money you got. Everybody's in the same bag. He hates everybody. So you're gonna pay whatever it takes. In other words, all of your money. He is not playing. The devil is the thief. He came for nothing but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's on his job. And like I say, he's a real fool. He's playing people like they are. Because, I mean, it's a game. And so he goes on here. Power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held. They cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge, and venge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little while, or yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. So they got it. So in other words, you take the mark of the beast, you're selling your soul to the devil. You're doomed. But if you don't take the mark of the beast, you got to give your head and you'll be saved at that time. Beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Stars fell from heaven. The earth was stars of heaven fell unto the earth. I'm sorry. Even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. You imagine? See, everything's up there like right now by the word of God's power. Planets don't run into each other or none of that. Stars are not falling and crashing into each other and destroying stuff. They will be during that time because God got them up there and it's going to be him working. So he goes on here, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men. Notice now, the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bond man, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. Can you imagine how stupid that sounds? You want a rock? I mean, you drive south. You go through Kentucky and Tennessee, you see they tell you to watch out, because sometimes some of those rocks will come down and come out in the highway on 75 or 95, depending on where you're going. So ain't no rock. You want a rock to fall on you, is going to kill you, hit you good enough or hard enough. Said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So we're moving on here. So remember now, after this, I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven. The church is not here. I'm not talking about buildings. I'm talking about the apostolic church. It's gone. That's why we're trying to tell people to repent and get baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins and receive the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues. That's being born of water and of the Spirit. That is the new birth that the Lord revealed unto the 12 apostles whom he had chose. Ain't no apostles nowadays. These people talking all this stuff, speak a word in your life. Ain't no speak nothing. Ain't nobody going to speak nothing in your life. You look into the perfect law of liberty. You pray and read the word. And you're in a church family. God set the solitary in families. So that means you, no man is island. You're not by yourself. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. Psalm 68 and verse 6. So, your leader, you are under authority, in authority. You're not in authority if you're not under authority. These so-called folks, they're not, they're independent. They're not with nobody. That's why they're speaking, talking out of the side of their neck, as we would say. They're speaking perverse things, like in the 20th chapter of Acts. Paul said, after my departing, some of you, you're not going to spare the flock, but some of you shall arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after you. So that's exactly what these people are doing today. So there's a group that call themselves the Jehovah Witness. I forget how many million of them it is, and they say 144,000 going to be saved. I mean, you want to know how ridiculous that is? This is what we're going to, we're right now at 144,000 is the 12 tribes of Israel. That ain't no Jehovah's Witnesses. They, no bigger lie ever been told. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. These are the 144,000. I'm going to try to fly through here right quick, and then our time is up for today. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. They were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Did you hear that? Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000. The tribe of Asher, the tribe of Nephtalim, the tribe were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Manasseh, of the tribe of Simeon, of the tribe of Levi, of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Zebulun, of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. 12 times 12 is 144. That's Israel. That is no Jehovah's Witnesses. That is so stupid. The devil is making a fool out of them. Then, after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, and still before the Lamb, before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, about the elders, and the four beasts fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, blessing, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever, amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto them, sir, thou knowest. This is what John said. He said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. And they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. This is the 12 tribes of Israel and those others that he couldn't number. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, they shall, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. In other words, there's going to be no need to cry. So there's nothing like getting an understanding. There's going to be so much. And so the mystery of iniquity doth already work. This is in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Only he who now letteth. That word let means hinder. He who now hinders will hinder till he be taken out of the way. In other words, the Holy Ghost, the prayers of the saints, the church is still here. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the brightness of his mouth, even whose working is after the working of Satan, you know, with all deceivableness and lying wonders, and those people who don't receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And the writer goes on to say, for this cause, God's going to send a strong delusion that they might believe a lie. They'll be damned. They'll believe a lie because they don't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So this is no joke. This is no joke at all. So we thank God for his word, and we're going to have to see you on next time. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And notice, this subject is not Jesus. This subject is God, because Jesus is God. So we're still asking you a question. We're begging you to search yourself. And the question that I ask, and I'm going to ask, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Thank you.